Chapter 7. At school the next day, Darcy thanked Cooper again for rescuing her from Bobby and his buddy. Cooper turned her gratitude aside with a joke.
"Wasn't me done it, girl. It was that kick of yours. Man, you chased him away all by yourself."
"Oh, Coop," Tara scolded. "Stop dissing your own self. You're a hero and you know it."
"A hero?"
Cooper repeated, his eyes huge.
"Sure, like John Wayne," Tara said. "My daddy loves those old John Wayne movies on TV."
"That's who you're like, Coop. John Wayne. Only darker." Cooper began to swagger around and imitate John Wayne's famous walk.
"Gather round, pilgrims,"
Cooper said in his best John Wayne voice.
"Here I am, a big black John Wayne, come to town to right all the wrongs you dudes been piling up. Only I ain't got a horse. Anybody want to loan me a horse?"
Just then, Brisanna came walking along. She glanced briefly at Cooper and Tara and ignored them. Looking directly at Darcy, she asked, "Want to eat lunch with me at the usual place?" "It's a nice place for lunch," Darcy said to Tara and Cooper. "You guys want to join us?" Brisanna began gesturing wildly behind Cooper and Tara's backs, trying to make Darcy understand that she was not in the least interested in all four of them eating lunch together. Tara and Cooper couldn't help noticing Brisanna's message.
"Go on, Darcy," Tara said. "Go and have lunch. See you later. We like it right here."
Tara looked hurt, but Darcy admired how cool she was about it.
"Oh, go ahead, Bris," Darcy answered. "I think I'll stay here today and eat with these guys."
Tara looked at Darcy and declared,
"You don't have to do that."
"I want to," Darcy said. "Catch up with you later, Brisanna." Brisanna hurried off as if she could not move fast enough. As soon as Brisanna left, Cooper said,
"Oh, I get it. You feel sorry for us. I mean, it's like when a social worker comes to check the neighborhood lady who's on disability. She acts like she just loves to sit down and talk, but deep down, she's looking down on that lady."
Scowling, Cooper added,
"Listen, sister, you don't have to be tight with us."
"What if I want to?" Darcy said, surprised by her own cool.
"What if I really want to?"
"Well then," Tara said, "that's different."
A big grin spread over her face. As Darcy ate lunch with Tara and Cooper, other regulars joined them, kids Darcy had little to do with in the past. They had often passed Darcy in the halls, at the library, and even sat beside her in some classes, but they remained strangers. There was Keisha, whose parents owned and operated a tiny neighborhood grocery store. And there was Hakeem Randall, with a guitar slung over his shoulder. Once, when he sat off by himself, strumming and singing, Darcy had almost walked over to tell him how good he sounded. But she didn't. Now he sat beside her, talking with Cooper about football. And there was also Sharif, a Sudanese boy who had just arrived at school, and Sonia, who quietly told Darcy that she had never liked Bobby Wallace. When Hakeem finished his sandwich, he picked up his guitar and started playing. It seemed when he sang and played, his shyness disappeared, but he never met Darcy's admiring gaze. He sang the lyrics he made up himself. "You're starting to sound like bad dreams, the ones that have tangled my mind. I'm starting to be fearful of darkness. Seems like you come back all the time." Darcy thought Hakeem was too fine for words. When he finished his song, at last he looked right at her, but then Darcy looked away. She was as shy as he was. Yet listening to Hakeem's song, Darcy almost felt she could tell him anything, even things about her family. In all the time she was at Bluford High, Darcy had never talked to anyone, not even Brisanna, about her father and the hurt he had caused. Brisanna's father was a bank official. Once he was out of work for several months, and Brisanna was so embarrassed she didn't tell Darcy. Darcy found out from someone else. Brisanna's mother was a clothes buyer for a pricey department store. Soon, Brisanna's family would have enough money to leave this neighborhood. Brisanna could go to a better school, one where just about everybody was a 10. Darcy had been ashamed to talk about her vanished father. Nothing truly awful ever happened in Brisanna's life. It only happened among the low-life people. In their world, fathers ran away, people drank too much, there was poverty. Darcy had hidden her pain from Brisanna so Brisanna would not think she was a low-life, too. But Darcy ached to talk, really talk, with a friend about how bad she felt. After school, Darcy found Tara shooting baskets in the court behind the gym. Mom didn't have to go to work as early today, so Darcy didn't need to rush home. "Hi, Tara. You like basketball?" Darcy asked, sitting down on a bench.
"Yeah, who knows? Maybe it'll be my ticket to college one of these days. Sure beats flipping burgers."
Darcy looked at her with surprise.
"I know what you're thinking," Tara said as she expertly dribbled the ball. "I'm too fat. But the way I see it, that can change. Coach Williams says I have potential," she stated with obvious pride.
"Girl, you go for it," Darcy said. "My grandmama always says, jump at the sun and you might catch a star." The two girls smiled at each other and sat on a nearby bench. It was October, but it was hot that afternoon. Soon the temperatures would cool, perhaps suddenly, but right now it was even warm in the shade.
"You know what, Tara?" Darcy said, the words rushing out like water suddenly released from a dam.
"My dad just came back into our lives after being gone for 5 years. It's just weird. I don't even know what I feel."
"That's wild," Tara said with concern.
"You mean he just popped in?"
"Out of nowhere. He started lurking around and I didn't even know it was him. I called the police and they told me it was him. He left my mom 5 years ago for somebody else and it tore us all up, especially my sister. She was only 9 and she worshipped Dad. She's sort of been lost ever since. And now he's back, almost like a ghost of somebody you thought was dead," Darcy said.
"So what's your mom say? She gonna let him come back or what?" Tara asked.
"I don't know what she's feeling. I told the police to tell him to stay away from us and Mom seemed okay with that. He left a phone number in case we wanted to call him, but what would we say? I sure don't know what to say."
Darcy shook her head.
"I mean, when he first left, I cried about it. And then I was mad, and I hated him. And then I didn't feel anything. Maybe just an empty feeling like there was some big hole inside me somewhere and it wouldn't close up."
Darcy could not believe how much of herself she was revealing to a girl she hardly knew. It was one thing gossiping about another girl's father being a drunk or about somebody's sister getting pregnant. But now Darcy was admitting that there was a large, dark secret in her own family that had ripped a hole so big and so deep that maybe her own little sister was being pulled into its terrible darkness.
"So what are you going to do?" Tara asked.
"Nothing, I guess. I just wish it could be the way it was before. My sister Jamie, she says she wishes Dad was dead. I guess that would make it easier. I mean, I might be able to forgive him if he was dead," Darcy said, twisting the hem of her shirt.
"You want to talk to him?" Tara asked.
"I'd like to ask him why he did such a thing to us. I like to hear it from his own mouth. I guess I know what happened, but I like to hear him try to explain. Maybe I want to see him squirm and be ashamed and feel as rotten as I do. But still, it'd be so horrible to actually hear it. To know this guy I hate is someone I used to love so much."
"You ought to see him," Tara said firmly. "Get it all out. Sometimes good people do rotten things. Then they realize the mistakes they made and turn their lives around. Sometimes bad people do good things too. We had a neighbor who was real bad, a drug dealer. He gave a kidney to a little boy who was dying. And then the guy got a sickness that messed up his other kidney, and he didn't mind, because he said he can die feeling proud. He said he lived his whole life for his own rotten self, but he got the chance to die for somebody else, and he was glad. You can't give up on people, girl. You hear what I'm saying? God don't give up on us, no matter what we do. So where we get off giving up on each other?"
"But Tara, nothing he says will make it better. Don't you see that? What could he say to make it okay that he left us like that? The thought that he thinks he can crawl back into our lives and be a father and a husband again just makes me sick," Darcy said.
"Maybe he just passing through, girl. Wants to make amends and then go back wherever he came from. Maybe even he's sick or dying or something like that, and he wants to tie up loose ends. Lots of folks try to fix stuff when they're dying," Tara said.
Darcy leaned against the brick wall of the gym and closed her eyes. She felt as if confusion and grief were overtaking her. A dry, rasping sob flew from her throat. Suddenly, she felt Tara's arms around her, warm and comforting. Into Tara's shoulder, Darcy cried big, violent sobs like nothing that had escaped her for years.
"We all got hurts," Tara said. "If we ain't got 'em now, they'll be coming."
Tara's hug was more comforting than Darcy ever imagined. It was as if she had left a small part of her sorrow with someone else, and now what was remaining would be easier to carry. When Darcy got home from school, she found Jamie more withdrawn than ever. Darcy took a deep breath before speaking. She knew that now, more than ever, she had to choose her words carefully. She didn't want to upset her sister again.
"Jamie, I know that you really cared about Bobby Wallace," Darcy began.
"I remember how you told me he gave you his picture, and he said you were his special girl. And I know that all the girls at school were probably jealous of you because you had a boyfriend from Bluford who drove a cool car. But Bobby wasn't the right guy for you. Any guy who puts his hands on you is bad news."
Jamie didn't say a word. She just sat there flipping through a magazine. It hurt Darcy to even look at her blackened eye and swollen cheek, but as bad as the bruises were on the outside, Darcy knew it was the inside that was really hurting in Jamie. Mom didn't seem to notice that anything was wrong, though. She was so preoccupied with the news of Dad's return that she barely saw what was happening to Jamie.
"I've made up my mind," Mom said at dinner. "I went through a few hours when I had a strong desire to call your father. I'm past that now."
"What good would it do? He'd offer lame excuses for what he did, like he always did. He'd bring up all the old stuff again, how it shamed him that I made more money than him, and how that made him feel less than a man. How I didn't support him in those get-rich-quick schemes, and how I wasn't the loving wife he'd always hoped for. I don't need to be brought down by all that."
"I understand, Mom," Darcy said.
"Yeah," Jamie agreed. "Who wants that bum back in our lives anyway?"
Jamie's lower lip trembled as she spoke. Darcy saw something in Jamie's eyes, the sudden dulling of a spark of hope. A hope, however far-fetched and wild, had risen in her heart when her father came back. This much had been obvious to Darcy. The daddy who had once treasured Jamie had reappeared. Maybe by some unknown magic he could make her feel special again. Jamie would never admit to such a thing in words, but Darcy knew her well enough to see hope flickering in her brown eyes. In Jamie's world of ear-shattering hip-hop music, of a much-loved, now almost lost grandma, a boyfriend who hurt and betrayed her, a father who abandoned her, even a slim thread of hope flared bright against the darkness, but now it too had gone out. Jamie usually ate her dessert right after dinner, especially when it was Mom's apple pie, but she left the table tonight without touching it.
"I've got to study for a history quiz," she said.
Mom seemed very pleased. Mom winked at Darcy as if to say, "See, her interest in school is finally blooming. She's hitting her stride like I said she would."
Darcy thought about it. She couldn't recall hearing Jamie say anything about taking history this marking period. She shrugged her shoulders, deciding to ask Jamie about that later.
After Mom left for work, the drumbeat of dismal music flowed from Jamie's room again. The lyrics of the rap were drowned out by the brain-busting beat of charging rhythms. It was just as well. The lyrics were about doom and gloom. It sounded as though the music was celebrating the end of the world. Cooper agreed to drive everybody to the tidal pool on Saturday. This time, Hakeem Randall joined them, which made Darcy both excited and nervous. She was glad that she had decided to put on a little lip gloss before she left the house. Tara's mom packed two baskets full of fried chicken, rolls, and potato salad. The four ate heartily before trooping down to the water's edge. Tara and Cooper clambered onto the rocks for a better view, leaving Darcy and Hakeem by themselves.
"You play the guitar really well," Darcy said.
"Thanks," Hakeem said. I've seen you around school. I wanted to talk to you a couple of times, but it's hard for me to meet new people," Darcy said, watching a purple sea urchin slip through the shallow water.
"Yeah, me too," Hakeem said. "I'm always saying the wrong thing or, you know, not knowing what to say."
"I guess we're sort of the same then," Darcy said, looking up at him and smiling shyly. Hakeem smiled back.
"I know this is pretty sudden, but I really like to hang out with you some more. How about we go see Aladdin together Friday after school?"
"What's Aladdin?" Darcy asked, her heart thumping happily.
Oh, it's a really fly local band. They play reggae and hip-hop that keeps the audience jumping, he explained enthusiastically.
Darcy's heart was absolutely galloping now. Hakeem was so close in the cramped space on the sand that she could almost feel his warm breath on her cheeks. His eyes seemed to be filled with tiny golden lights. Or was that just Darcy's imagination? She had been so sad, so miserable and bewildered over Jamie's problems, Grandma slipping away, and Dad's strange reappearance, that now, all of a sudden, Darcy felt a complete, unexpected surge of joy.
So you want to go? Hakeem persisted.
Sure, sounds like fun. I'll ask my mom and let you know tonight.
Cool, Hakeem agreed contentedly. He smiled again, a wondrous smile.
Darcy had never seen one quite like it before. The lights in his eyes sparkled like gold dust.